Welcome to the Fill Your House with Books podcast, where we talk about Christian and wholesome children's books and all things family discipleship. Everyone, I am so excited to be back with another episode on the Fill Your House with Books podcast. I know it's been a while with the holidays and different things going on. I had to take a couple of weeks off, and I'm just so excited to be back on here. I have so many topics that I would like to address here, topics that I feel like come up over and over again, anything really in regards to books and family discipleship, and then also though homeschooling is a big topic as well, and it seems like there are so many more topics that go along those lines. And so today's topic is definitely random, and it will not be interesting to everyone here in my audience, but there are many people, really turns out, that are interested in this topic and that ask me questions or that have very cool just kind of family stories, family backgrounds, and reasons why this topic is so applicable to them. And so today we're talking about a second language, incorporating a second language, raising children with more than one language, however you want to call it, having a bilingual homeschool. So this applies really to homeschoolers as well as people that do not homeschool, where children go to private schools, public schools, or maybe your children are still little, maybe you don't have any children yet, or maybe your children are grown and you are approaching the grandmother, grandfather years. Either way, this is an interesting topic to me, especially since I'm very interested in foreign countries and cultures, and so the topic of language is very interesting to me. And I have to confess, though, that I did not grow up with that interest. Otherwise, I would maybe be one of those people that says, I speak 4 or 5 languages. No, that's not me. I speak my mother language. Of course, my first language is German. For those of you that do not know, I was born and raised in Germany. All my family is German and is in Germany still as well, all pretty much in the same city/village as well. So I know many Americans share how they are German and they mean like tracing it back, that they have German roots. And for me, I try to make that differentiation so people know why I maybe have my accent, or even just for them to understand where I'm from and where I grew up, where I spent the majority of my life. We actually just moved back here to Florida about 3 years ago. So we lived abroad for many years of our marriage. My husband is Floridian. He's American. So he was very interested in living abroad, living overseas for some time. And it was just exciting to spend those years together with an American husband. It helped me to see my own country and the entire continent, frankly, through different eyes. So I feel like I can appreciate it so much more now and already back then when we moved there. So basically, after we got married about 11 years ago, we spent the first 2 years of our life in Florida. I went through the entire green card process, was able to move here. We spent, again, the first 2 years here. Our daughter was born here. And then when she was only 2 months old, we moved to Germany for 6 years. That's how long we were going to stay. We knew that we would be there only temporarily because a main reason was we wanted to homeschool. And homeschooling is actually illegal in Germany. So the laws vary in Europe from country to country. There are several countries that allow it, several that do not allow it. But honestly, I can just tell any homeschoolers here in the States, in Canada, in the UK, Australia, you guys are very, or I guess we, because I'm here now too in America, we have a big privilege that we are able to homeschool our children and just have that extra time with them that we do not have to let them leave the house and send them out to a school that we are able to homeschool. In Germany, there's really no option to school at home. You have to have them go to a school. There are private schools in Germany. So I myself actually went to a more conservative Christian school in Germany. So I had a very good experience. In general, I actually like a lot about the school system in Germany compared to America. But that would make a whole new podcast episode. It definitely helps me to see just the different perspectives there coming from Germany. And so since we are a bilingual family and my husband is American and I'm German, we knew we wanted to raise our children bilingual. We had no idea how to really do it. We actually, or me especially, I knew of many people that had two cultures represented, like a mom from this country or that from the other country, and still the children were not fluent in a second language because the parents somewhat just gave up on teaching them, which I totally understand why families don't continue with it. But I just never saw it really modeled, at least in English and German. I saw some multicultural families in Germany, but still, the process was very foreign to me. So all we knew was we wanted to raise our children bilingual. And that was about all we knew. And we knew, of course, that I was fluent in both languages. My husband back then, he was still learning German at this point. Now he is fluent in German too, but his strong language is definitely English. And so that was how we came about that whole topic of bilingual. And why is it important to us? I would say the main reason is that for me and my husband, language is more than just words, but it represents a culture. And I knew that I would have to be very purposeful if I wanted to preserve that culture, if I wanted to pass on my own culture to my children. And the same goes the other way around. I always had a sense of responsibility in preserving my husband's culture while we lived in Germany. So we still celebrated Thanksgiving, even though it's no holiday over there, obviously. Everybody goes to work, but we would meet with another family that was German-American, and we wouldn't have a turkey, but we had a chicken. And we made several other special sides to celebrate. I would read books about Thanksgiving to my daughter and just celebrate it even for myself. I was new, of course, to those festivities. They weren't super foreign to me, but still, I did not grow up with them. And like every family, every mom thinks about what are the traditions I want to have in my home, just like Sally Clarkson talks about that a lot. For us, that was definitely a mix between German and American traditions. Also, 4th of July, I remember when my daughter was one or two, how we had a little banner up and we made these little crackers with cream cheese and then blueberries and strawberries to make like a little American flag. And so for me, speaking a language also, you know, and the culture of people living in that place is very intertwined. And so I never saw language as just a tool that you possess, but it's a way to communicate with people from there, which leads me to my second reason. Obviously, understanding my family, my grandparents are not fluent in English. They don't speak any English. So my parents actually do understand English. Of course, not fluently, but they're fluent in a way, but they wouldn't understand everything if they were, for instance, listening to a sermon or if they would read a book. They would still just have some gaps there, but they definitely understand and they can communicate very well, actually, in English. So that was not so much maybe of a topic there, but I knew that for my children to be able to understand my grandparents, they would need to understand German, and the same goes for my husband's grandparents, to keep that communication. And of course, communication is needed for relationships, so the relationship would just be so much deeper if there was a common language between us. And so that, I also noticed that in my husband's life when he moved to Germany, he was not speaking anything fluent in German. I wish I could remember how he spoke back then. I know that he was able to communicate sort of with hands and feet. But my grandmother was actually his main teacher when we first moved to Germany. My grandmother, you know, was retired. And so she had a lot of time on her hands. And she's always been a very patient lady as well. So she would literally just communicate. She could not speak. She cannot speak any English. So she had to explain and write little notes with words and point to the item. And they didn't have quote unquote lessons at all. They would just talk about things that came up, topics that would come up between them and maybe our baby girl or something. And my husband just soaks up anything language. He's very good. He also speaks some Spanish, since that's a big language here in Florida, of course. And so that was beautiful to see how the language barrier, the more that shrank, the more he was able to grow in communication with my grandmother, which meant the more they were able to grow in their relationship. And then, of course, my husband reached a point of fluency where he was eventually then serving as a youth pastor, preaching, as a worship pastor, singing. And nobody would deny the accent, that's for certain, just like you can hear my accent and you will hear my grammatical errors. But it's just part of who we are, and I don't mind that at all. I actually like it. I love it when people ask me, where are you from? What's your accent? And funny thing, accent too, is that when we moved back here after 6 years abroad in Germany, people would ask my husband and say, you have a strong German accent. So that was funny, since he is completely born and raised in America. So those are some of the reasons why we just felt like that was important. And I also knew from the Charlotte Mason homeschool philosophy that I had been soaking up really for years when my daughter was little. I knew how habit training is such a big component and such a powerful tool in the hands of parents, that I knew, okay, this is not something I will have to be perfect in or something that I have to plan out in detail, but I'll just have to establish some habits in our life. And there's not one way to do it. There's not one right way to do it at all. I can just share from my own experiences. And I'm also going to share some thoughts that I heard from other bilingual families, how they trained their children or how their children picked up on the second language. So basically, the way we did it living in Germany was very simple. Again, not a course or anything, but the way somebody learns a language the best really is to just be immersed in it. In other words, to just hear somebody speak it and to speak it to somebody, even when you're not good at it yet. So our daughter, again, she grew up in Germany until she was 6 years old, and me and my husband both decided to speak English with her, since we were living in Germany and we knew that she would have daily encounters with German people. And of course, that also meant my daughter heard me speak German a lot. And again, the topic of music and books I'm going to get into more, there was also a variety of language there. But still, I wanted to make sure I focus on English, since we were living in Germany. And unless you really isolate yourself and live in a country where you don't know anybody, that would be a different story. But for me, living right there with my family, spending a lot of time with my own family and all my German friends, and her hearing German all the time, and also hearing me speak German to them, of course, that's why I knew, okay, I will make English my focus here in our language. And of course, Daddy spoke English to her, and our daughter was very eager learning how to speak. She was quite early in her language, and she's always loved books, so she has a pretty great vocabulary, and she does in both languages, so for her, that's definitely something that comes easy. Again, I can only speak from our experience, but I can see still, and I saw back then how the language that we immersed her in, the two different languages, how it brought fruit in her life. And she was able to, when she was about two, and I guess, you know, get into speaking fluently, she was able to communicate fluently in German with her grandparents and fluent in English with us. And she was able to just switch when we were going to Oma's house, she would just talk German with them. And she was able, though, to talk English back to me. So I didn't train her. This is the rule for this house, this for that. But that's the miracle, really. I can only share my own experiences there with my daughter. I found it amazing to see how a child grows up like that, being immersed in two languages. As far as other options, of course, the most typical way, I would assume, I didn't check out any statistics, but I know that a very traditional way of doing it is just that you have a mom speak one language and a dad the other, which makes a lot of sense to have sort of like a 50-50 approach. I've also heard of, and that was interesting when I first heard it, I'd never imagined people doing that, but I've heard of families that where I guess both parents were sort of fluent in both languages, that you switch from week to week. So you would have one week where you do, you know, you communicate everything in, let's say, German, and the next week all in English. So that makes sense. I mean, mathematically speaking, that will definitely bring fruit, and I love the idea of that. I'm definitely considering trying out something like that. I think a big factor to take in whenever considering that is really, where do you live and what language do people speak there? And then, of course, what languages do you speak? Are you fluent in them? And your husband too, your spouse. So there's not, again, one way to do it. You have to take into account these different factors and see what works best for you. Either way, there's a couple of tips I wanted to give you guys. They may be obvious, but for me, it helps me to hear from others how they do things. And I can always get some great ideas out of listening to others. So obvious point would be having people around that speak that other foreign language. And that might mean for you that you look up other homeschooling families, for instance. I just know in our area there is a homeschool group on Facebook that people have all sorts of ideas in. They say, hey, do you know of any soccer teams here in the area? Do you know of any ballet classes? Or things such as, I'm looking for a math tutor. Or many people post things such as, hey, I have an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old and we're looking for friends. Does anybody want to meet with us? So whenever you have a way of reaching, and nowadays it's not my favorite thing. I wish people would be more meeting outdoors and connecting that way more organically. But since there is something like Facebook around, I do recommend people going on there in order to connect with people for real life friendships. So you could always reach out and say, hey, we're a German-American family. Is there anybody here in the area? And I really want to recommend you don't just do it one time. Do it over and over again with all the algorithm on the social media. Not everybody will see it. Also, just if you really try to find somebody else who speaks that language, then ask, like, make friends. Let your friends know and say, hey, is there anybody else you know? Even if they're not other homeschoolers, maybe they're grandparents or an elderly couple that is fluent in that other language that you could just build relationship with, and just even see it as an evangelistic sort of thing too, of building relationship or opening your home to other people, making friends. And there's so many people that want to share their experiences. For instance, I know many people that grew up with military families and for that reason have experienced time in another country, and they may not be fluent in that language, but they're interested in it, and they say, oh, that's nice, and I can speak some, and I remember being here and there in Germany. And there's many people you can connect with that have experiences with other that have made experiences in other European countries. For instance, if a European language is the one you're looking for, try to connect with people. Even if it's not a homeschool group, there are all these groups, I don't even know the name, but ways to connect with fellow moms, or even if your child attends a school or a daycare, to just say, hey, is there anybody here you know of? And then I believe the Lord is definitely able to connect us, more than willing to connect us with people and answer our prayer that way. Then more practically speaking, of course, books, songs, and movies are on my list. When it comes to books, basically the way I did it and the way I do it is I'm fluent in both languages, which is still German is my most fluent language. There's many words in English I don't know. But that's actually one reason that I like books so much, even children's books, is I keep learning new words and I like looking them up and learning about new terms and all. And so read books to your children in both languages. The harder part may be finding books in another language. But even there, nowadays, eBay and even, again, connecting with other people, there may be a way for you to find books from another country. I know Spanish is no problem here at all. And please reach out to me personally. I have lots of more ideas that would kind of be too much detail, I think, here. But just to have a little side note, long story short, there is a way to order Amazon books from other, or Amazon products from other countries to America. And yes, there is a higher fee, but it's still worth it. I think the fee for me as a German, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're German or not, but I've looked it up before. If I was going to order German Amazon products, of course, not all are maybe, you know, shipped abroad, but books certainly are. And then you may pay about $8, $9, $10, $11, maybe $15 of a fee. But if you're, you know, getting 10 books and really use them and they're really treasured by your family, then that is a worthwhile investment, I would really say. And apart from that, I would really strongly consider looking on eBay as well and finding used books. I have a lot of used German books that I'm trying to sell at this point because I just have so many and I keep adding to my collection. And as many of you know, I'm also a used bookseller for English titles. Of course, the majority of my books for sale are English, since I thrift books and I resell books from other, you know, homeschool families and all. So books really are my passion. So if you have any question about that, I can help you. German audiobooks are completely accessible on the internet. So Spotify is an amazing resource for audiobooks. It's interesting, but in Germany, you really find more of those dramatized audiobooks than you find in English, in the English language. I feel like in America, I have more unabridged versions, and that's something that's more missing in Germany. So in Germany, you have a big focus on those 1 hour audiobooks that have different voices, different characters kind of acted out. And I would always add those to my life if I was trying to teach another language to my children. So obviously I cannot speak for other languages. I can just give you ideas, because maybe in Italian or French or Russian, there's also similar options like that. You can check out YouTube, because there's all these several unabridged audiobooks or audio dramatizations on YouTube. It's, of course, I've never looked for French or Russian ones, but I know I found several of my favorite childhood audiobooks on YouTube that I'm like, wow, I didn't know that still existed. Spotify again, and then of course also places such as Audible, Everand, Former Scribd, all of those places will be great. The same goes for songs, for music. Again, if you have any questions to go into more detail there, I can just tell you that on the internet nowadays, you find about anything as far as music. So I'm assuming if you want to teach your child a second language, then it is also, though, because you are either from that country or your spouse is from that country. So you probably have lots of ideas that come to mind when I bring up the word music. There is just so many things. Even as far as worship songs, there are many German translations, which is fun sometimes to listen to when you already know the English one. There's so many things. There are the, of course, when it comes to passing down culture, there are the typical German Kinderlieder, children's songs that are only German, just like English nursery rhymes. And the same will go for your, for the country you are from or your husband is from. My tip for movies is a pretty simple one. Maybe you have thought of it before, maybe you haven't. Turn on subtitles, or, you know, just change the language of the movie. So I'm not sure how that works on every single platform, but it is something we always try to do. It's not always available, but basically when you turn on a movie on, let's say, Amazon Prime or especially Disney Plus, I've seen it, you can switch. There's a big selection of different languages, and we try to, whenever we watch a movie, we try to turn it on in German, because of course right now I'm here in the States. I have personally, I know not many Germans around. I see them here and there, but it's nothing compared to a daily or even weekly longer encounter. So I need to add, I'm desperate to add German here, because I'm the only source. And then also I do a lot in English with them here. So my daughter is fluent in the reading and also with writing now at this point, but my son is smaller. So I have to be very concerned, sounds very negative, but very aware of that. And one thing, for instance, we have the Little House on the Prairie series that I bought in Germany, in German. And so there's always both languages to choose there. If you are from another country, I would recommend you, if at all possible, to look for DVDs that are from that country that are, for instance, the German edition, because you typically have the English original version on there too. So I tried, of course, currently I live in America, so if I add a DVD, it's from Goodwill and I don't have that option. But my whole life living in Germany, I had German DVDs in my collection, and pretty much all of those, most of those, or a big majority, are produced in America or England. So there will be both languages available. And even there, movies, you will find so many wholesome classic movies, children's movies that are German on YouTube. Heidi is one of my favorites. It's on there in German. So many different ones. Please reach out to me if you have specific questions about German shows, movies, or anything in general. If you have any German background or interest, I would love to connect with you. I love meeting other people from my culture, or Austrian, Swiss, or anything really. I love meeting people from the UK. I love Scotland. I love pretty much all those countries. I can't speak the languages though. Like, I can't speak French, Italian, or anything. But you probably speak English if you're listening to me. So I would love to connect with people from other countries. I'm also in the process of actually creating a curriculum that will take us around the world and teach children. Basically, it's supposed to be a resource to explore the cultures of other countries and to go a little bit deeper than most curricula do. To not just say, you know, favorite food, colors of the flag, say hello in that language, that's it. No, I would like to give some more insight into the different cultures that are there in Europe, and eventually for all countries in the world. But Europe, of course, is where I'm from. So that's my desire, to have a resource that doesn't just point you to books, but that actually has written text in it that I can guide you and instruct you. Just teach you some of those things about the culture, the history, the geography. What is it like living there? What is life like for children in that country? And of course, what do they eat there? That's what we all want to know. That I know that. I want to know that too. So yes, this is a little bit of background, what's going on here behind the scenes. But there are just so many ways to incorporate a second language. Try to get connected with other people and add wholesome, wonderful resources to your everyday life. That would be my biggest recommendation. And of course, if your in-laws or your parents are at all able to, then have them do FaceTime calls, phone calls, video calls, where, again, children get to hear and even see. Nowadays, that's so easy. They can see where they live, what it's like in their living room, maybe even, you know, whatever it looks like there in their city, in their village, in their town, and they can hear the foreign language spoken that way as well. So yes, it's an exciting topic. Make sure to just enjoy the process though. I know it can be discouraging. Again, I'm no expert by any means. I know every situation is different, but I would highly recommend you to not give up, even if your children are older. I've met people, families where children are maybe already 5 or 6 or 7, and they had basically given up and decided they would just not do it, and I think they just felt discouraged and overwhelmed. I honestly believe that even if you add a language at that time, it still brings fruit, because honestly, living in Germany, it starts at age 10 that you learn English, but you learn it every day of your school, every single school day, that foreign language. And then at the end of school time, every German is fluent in English. So even if your children are 10 or older, even teenagers, it's not too late. They can still learn some words, some skills, and just hear worship songs in that language, or some songs that are culturally famous or anything like that. Just immerse them in that language, in that culture, and it will bring a lot of fruit. It's a wonderful gift you give to your children, passing down your mother tongue and your first language. So thank you so much for listening today. Again, I would love to, especially on this topic, I would love to get in contact with you and hear from you. I would love to receive a message. You can find me, of course, on Instagram, Fill Your House with Books, on Facebook, Fill Your House with Books. And I also have an email address you can send me an email to that's linked here. And you can always leave a review as well. That would be very, very helpful. I know that you probably hear that on every single podcast you listen to, but my podcast is still smaller, so I'm still in the process of growing it. And any review just really helps with more people getting reached by the podcast. And I really appreciate you sharing and spreading the word. And also, please reach out to me if you have any suggestions for topics that I could talk about on this podcast that's focusing on books and family discipleship and also homeschooling. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.